Hello, and welcome to Panel to the People. This is Cam FM's answer to the comedy panel show. However, unlike other panel shows, this one is entirely improvised. Even the title is going to come from audience suggestions. So today, we're recording in the ADC Theatre in Cambridge. So to get a feel for how this audience suggestion lark really works, I'd like a noun beginning with the letter A.
Avocado.
And another noun beginning with the letter D, please.
Diplodocus.
Thank you. And I'm sure you see where this is going. Could we have a verb beginning with the letter C?
Catch.
the name of the show is going to be Diplodocus, Catch That Avocado. So, hello and welcome to Diplodocus, Catch That Avocado. My name is David Birch. I am your host. And our panellists today are Tom Ellis. Chris Smoten. Michael Contario. And James Howe. We're going to get started with a game called World's Worst. In this, we pick a topic and the panellists come up with examples of the world's worst example of that thing. So, could I have a suggestion for a profession, please?
Teaching.
Some more?
Sewage sweeper.
A couple more, please.
Dentist. Surgeon.
Sensor. Brilliant. We'll do those. So, an example of the world's worst surgeon, please.
Oh!
So, people generally have two arms.
Okay, the world's worst sensor, please.
Now, listen very carefully. The way you do this job is... I have detected light. Oh, sorry.
Okay, can we have the world's worst prime minister?
Do we have to do the obvious one?
No, okay, so we have the world's worst sewage cleaner.
I think it was sewage sweeper.
Sewage sweeper, the world's worst sewage sweeper.
Which is good, because I thought of... I can't help but feel that this job ought to be done using pipes or hoses. Or this sweeping brush is just, it's doing nothing for me. This matter is not clearable using sweeping technology.
Okay, and to go on with the name of the show, can we have the world's worst example of a dinosaur?
Rawr.
Okay, that's pretty bad.
That's very bad, yeah.
Wonderful. We'll move on to a game called Tell the News. It might just be me, but I like to pretend this is a topical show. Or at least, let's maintain the pretense that it is. To this end, we're going to play a game called Tell the News. And the panellists will narrate a news story, each supplying one word at a time, going around and around. I'd like a suggestion of a typical headline you might see in a newspaper.
Avocados cause cancer.
James, take it away.
Scientists have discovered recently the
reason
for
cancer
of
the
face.
Avocados
growing
upon
the
face
of
everybody
are
causing
malignant
growths
of
enormous
proportions.
Doctors
combat
this
terror
using
the
recent
guacamole
advances,
spreading
this
delightful
sauce
over
your
face
feels
delightful.
Patients
report
that
the
treatment
is
super
but
leads
to
smelling
of
guacamole.
We'll end it there. We're now going to play a game called Sound Effects. In this game, Tom and Chris are going to narrate a story, and Michael and James are going to provide the sound effects that really bring it to life. I'd like some things from the audience. Could we have a noun?
Orange.
Excellent. Could we have a non-geographical location, like a zoo?
Or a kumquat tree.
A nightclub. We'll go with a nightclub. Could we have a genre for a television show or film?
Horror.
Film noir.
We can go with kind of both of the films for that, I think. We'll have horror and film noir. So, take it away.
Detective Bogart walked down the stairs into the nightclub. He had a strange skip to his step, and it reverberated on the wooden stairs.
Bogart walked into the club, saw the guy he was looking for leaning on the bar. He was drinking heavily.
Bogart walked up to him and choked him.
Lay off, Bogart, he said. I'll tell you what you want to know. I hid the pizzas in the back of my car.
Bogart knocked him over the head and dragged him back up the stairs to inspect the loot.
The loot was mainly coconuts. And some oranges, of course, which he had been using to furnish the pizzas. Bogart took a look at the pizzas and said, "This isn't right. You're not allowed to make food like this."
"This isn't right. You're not allowed to make food like this."
"But I'm only trying to feed my family," came the response.
"But I'm only trying to feed my family."
"That's not going to wash with me, sonny." And with that, the suspect jumped into his car and sped away.
Bogart chased furiously on foot. The sound of the nightclub still ringing in his ears.
"This won't do," he thought. He flagged down a taxi quick as he could. Hopping in, he said, "Follow that car at once."
"Follow that car at once."
An exciting chase followed.
Onk. During which they were pursued by the fire department. "Ah, hell," said Bogart. "It's my arch nemesis, the head of the fire department. He's on my tail." Bogart jumped from the vehicle as quick as he could and ran up to the now stationary fireman. He opened the door and demanded satisfaction of his nemesis, the chief of the fire department, using his bullwhip.
Somehow, it all ended, and Bogart said, "This could be the beginning of a beautiful friendship."
I like how the horror in that story was provided by the orange being on a pizza.
Okay, talking about oranges and pizzas, that's a word beginning with O and then a word beginning with P. So we're going to play I Went to the Shops. It's a game from our childhood, and all we need for this is a letter from the audience. Any letter. X first. James, take it away.
I went to the shops and I bought a xylophone.
I went to the shops and I bought a yacht. A xylophone and a yacht.
I went to the shops and I bought a xylophone, a yacht, and a ziggurat.
I went to the shops, I bought a xylophone, a yacht, a ziggurat, and an avocado.
I went to the shops and I bought a xylophone, an avocado, and some bananas.
But what became of the yacht and the ziggurat?
Well, ziggurats are notoriously heavy, and the yacht just sank.
I went to the shops and I bought a xylophone and some cream cheese.
And what happened to the bananas and the avocado?
I just fancied a fruit salad.
Fair enough.
I went to the shops and I bought a xylophone, some cream cheese, and a dentist.
I went to the shops and I bought a xylophone and an emergency exit.
But what became of the cream cheese and dentist?
Well, cream cheese does not contain products that harm your teeth. and therefore I didn't need the dentist in the end.
And I'll take your emergency exit and get out of here. Okay, we left a few things behind there, so we're going to play X Without Y. In this, Tom and Chris are going to narrate a famous story, but with one crucial element missing. For example, we could tell the story of Harry Potter without magic, or we could tell the story of Jack and the Beanstalk without the Beanstalk, or we could tell the story of the Da Vinci Code without logic, although that would actually be different. So, from the audience, if you could suggest a few famous stories.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. And what are we missing from Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs?
The Wicked Witch.
The Wicked Witch. Wonderful. Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs without any wicked witches.
One day, Snow White was skipping through the forest when she came upon a cottage.
She thought, that looks like such a pretty cottage. I'm going to knock on the door and see who's there.
The porter dwarf answered the door.
Sorry, what do you want?
Oh, this looks like such a pretty cottage. I thought I would come in and have a look.
Well, you're welcome to shelter from nothing in particular. In our cottage, they said.
So Snow White walked in. There was a roaring fire in the kitchen.
She warmed herself by the fire when there was a knock at the door. She opened the door and found an apple sitting on the step, but nobody else.
What a delicious looking apple, she said.
So she ate it, and everything was fine.
Brilliant. I think we've got time to do another one of those. Mm-hmm. Could we have another story, please?
The Matrix.
The Matrix. And something that's missing from The Matrix.
PCs.
Computers. Michael and James.
There was a man who liked to wear a black coat. His name was Neo, and he was unemployed.
The end. Okay, let's take a little bit of a break. We're going to do some word definitions. What I've done is I've gone and found a list of very obscure old words from the English language that have fallen out of use. And they're real words, but they're so old that no one remembers them. I've got a list of them here, and the panellists have never seen them before, but I'm going to give them out, and I'd like them to try and guess what they mean.
Well, I think Dandy Pratt needs no a definition. It's clearly someone who's not very good in social situations, but does dress quite finely.
You're actually half right.
Which half?
They're not very good in social situations, but they don't dress finely.
What's a dandy prat, then?
Dandy prat is a street urchin.
Educational.
And that word fell out of use in 1583.
Too educational.
I've got Wemble. Which I think has to be playing in the football FA Cup final.
Brontion goes along with Diplodocizzle, two of the coolest dinosaurs.
Actually, a Wemble is... It's a noun. No, a Wemble is a verb. But it's something I did today.
Wow! Well, the FA Cup final was just an hour ago.
I got here pretty fast. Wemble is a verb which means to invert a saucepan or bowl on a shelf so that it doesn't collect dust.
Too educational.
Brontion is, I think, probably a noun that I own, but I doubt anybody else in this entire room does.
That you own?
Oh, yes, it's a noun that I own. Okay, it's what it is. It's a tube, and on the end of the tube there's a drum skin, and then attached to the drum skin there's a long spring, and when you shake it, it makes a noise a bit like a thunderclap, and it's used in theatres to make the sound of thunder.
Wow, I've got a brosia, defective feminine clothing.
Surely brosier, the male equivalent.
Some hers, brosier and brosier. Yeah.
Brosier is
rather bros.
Brosier.
Brosier is a piece of slang from Eton.
What does it mean?
It could mean that. It's
a man bra.
It means a boy who no longer has any pocket money.
I've got a Uyghurtism, Which is when the queen is very big-headed.
That's actually kind of correct.
I know so much, I never knew I knew.
I thought it was just thinking that because you've got motion controls, you've got the best console.
Wiigotism is the gratuitous use of the word we instead of the word I.
I've got a course, Ned. That one time Flanders dropped the F-bomb.
No. No, course, Ned is a term from... Turn of the last millennium, Anglo-Saxon law.
The lazy version.
It's from about the year 1000, and it's a trial by ordeal where you give the suspect a piece of barley bread and some cheese, and if they're guilty, they'll choke to death on it. It's not really surprising that one fell out of use.
I know we've already had Bronte on, but to me that's just the Pokemon made from the Bronte sisters.
is Scurry Funge some sort of mushroomoid rodent? You're going to say I'm half right again, aren't you?
No.
It's another Pokemon, isn't it?
Scurry Funge. Oh, of course.
A little rat-like thing that just keeps on falling over.
And mushrooms grow on him. Mm, or maybe avocado growth. Sort of.
This is a piece of American slang from 1975. So probably still in use. It's the period of time between the point where you see your neighbour walking up to your doorway and the point where you open it, where you frantically tidy your house.
Did you want to do one? I was going to do prompt and swazzle at the same time because I think they go together.
Go for it. I wasn't going to go for
either. They're both words from the early days of aviation from the Wright brothers because... there were many ways you could crash your plane. Prompt is doing a sort of nose dive, and swazzle is sort of vibrating from side to side without even taking off.
Swazzled another plane.
I bonked mine.
Gonk involves being in the air, and swazzle involves vibration. A prong is...
Is it the feeling that you get when you realise you haven't packed your parachute properly? I feel a right prong. No, you feel a right prong.
Oh, prong. To prong is to leap through the air in the fashion that an antelope does. That's from 1896. And a swazzle is a small mouthpiece which is used by...
Punch and Judy!
There you go, he knows it.
Get in.
It's used to make the squeaking voice that Punch has. You put it in your mouth and it raises the pitch of your voice.
I've got Skiamaki. Rule by whoever has the most complicated plan.
Skiamaki is to fight with your own shadow or an imaginary enemy.
Really? That's much more sensible. Yeah, never mind.
Like shadow boxing.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's a lot.
That's all of them, yeah.
Yeah. Excellent. Well, we actually got a few right.
I think we all learned something there.
Well, let's move on. we're going to play Blind Date. Tom, I'd like you to go away.
That's nothing to do with the game.
I'm fed up. I'm sure you all know how Blind Date works. Or the TV show Blind Date with Cilla Black. I'm going to be Cilla. That's going to be exciting.
What good you dressed up for it as well.
Yeah. Okay, so the difference is that our contestants on Blind Date have some interesting personality quirks, which I'd like you to suggest. Tom is going to try and guess what they are. I believe that James believes that he's some kind of famous person, or is some kind of famous person, but who might he be?
Margaret Thatcher.
You can be Margaret Thatcher.
Can I?
Can you be Margaret Thatcher?
We'll see.
Michael has a secret that he's trying to hide.
He loves elbows.
He really loves elbows. He doesn't want anyone to know. And finally, Chris. Chris is obsessed with something really tedious. But what tedious thing is he obsessed with?
Counting clouds.
Counting clouds?
He likes counting clouds. Okay. If we could get Tom back in.
Hi, Cilla.
Hello, Chuck. So, we've got three lovely contestants lined up for you today, but what are you going to ask them?
Lovely. Well, as you know, I've got a lovely pet chinchilla who I look after every day and take for walks, and he looks after my house when I'm not there. How would you help me look after my chinchilla? That one goes to number one.
Well, I'm not sure I like chinchillas. I heard they're from southern America. I heard they're from the South America region, and they're not very popular over there.
Okay, same to number two.
What I'd like to do is I'd like to get your teach your chinchilla to stand up on its hind legs and just dance around a bit, because then its legs would be more like arms, and I think all creatures should have arms and the joints thereof.
Okay, thanks. And to number three?
Well, call me One Note, but like all of my wisdom, I would take it from my collector's book. Now, if we consult number 279, which you can actually see at the moment just going over the horizon there, number 279 is shaped like a chinchilla eating a vicar. So, I would feed it a vicar in line with the wisdom so provided.
Okay, thanks. And I'm quite like live music. So on our first date, what live music would you take me to see and why? And that goes to number one.
Well, I think it would have to be Iron Maiden.
Quite conservative in your music taste.
Indeed.
Number two?
Oh, well, there's one particular band that I quite like. I believe they actually won the Mercury Prize, but sadly I can't actually remember any of their album names. But, they're very good. And
they're from Manchester, aren't they, Chuck?
Yes, unlike you, Scylla. I know you don't like Manchester. Yes, they're from Manchester, and they're a bit sort of indie.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Guy, who's got something to do with elbow. And the same to number three, mystery three.
I would take a classic band of the 90s, Counting Crows, and force them at gunpoint to unify with the band Surrounded by Clouds.
Right.
As was suggested to me by number 1272, which you can see. Actually, you can see that one at the moment as well. Which you supply a delicate rendition of myself with an assault rifle, compelling two different musical acts into the same venue. So, wisdom from the skies.
Okay, Mr. Astrologer. Maybe I'll ask you another question.
I should point out this only works during the daytime. If you'd asked me this at night, then I'd have had sensible answers for you.
Does Graham want to sum up?
Yes. Number one, your relationship with her might get a little bit political. Number two, I think you already know what you need to know. Number three, you can look to the skies and count your stars.
But don't. My favourite stargazing nights are the ones where you can see no stars at all due to the...
due to the light pollution.
If you pick number three, you'll have long walks and rain on rainy days.
It's very overcast. You're a cloud lover.
Hey!
And you're Margaret Thatcher, and you're something to do with elbow.
I have an overwhelming love of elbows.
Ah.
Don't we all?
No.
Okay, does anyone remember the names of any albums by Elbow?
No. Anyone?
Seldom Seen Kid.
Do they have an album called Clouds, or is that somebody else? No, okay. That's just me. Okay, let's go channel hopping. This game is inspired by those channels that you get at the back end of cable TV, the shopping channels like QVC and... Can I say QVC on the radio?
You just did. Oh,
we'll bleep it in the edit. Anyway, nobody ever watches them. So James and Michael are going to try and sell you some wonderful products. So what I would like is an item smaller than a watermelon.
A set of tarot cards.
And could somebody suggest an unusual property that these tarot cards might have?
They're on fire.
They're on fire. Excellent. And a second item, something larger than a watermelon this time.
A kumquat tree.
Okay, and something unusual about this kumquat tree.
It's painted red. It's
painted red. Okay, take it away.
Say, Mike, do you often find that... You both find you don't know what's going to happen in the future, and you're also cold.
Why, yes, I go often for long walks, gazing at clouds, and then I'm so focused on the sky, I'm lost, so I don't know what's going to happen.
Well, we might have the product you need right here. Let me just get the tongs. Yes, it's a flaming set of tarot cards. And they can be yours, right now.
There's one thing that I think they do predict with great regularity.
And what's that, Mike?
You're going to get burnt.
Not so with these cards, because this fire won't burn you, we think. But if it does, don't say we warned you.
Hey, do you ever find that you want to just announce in your garden your political allegiance?
You know, I often find the need to scream my love of Margaret Thatcher, or indeed Stalin, if I'm paying attention, in wooded areas, but just can't find the way to express it.
And do you also find that you want to really impress your neighbours with an obscure fruit?
Yes, Mr. Anderson is really getting on my tits. If only there were some way both my problems could be solved at once. Is that what I think it is?
What do you think it is?
I think it's a kumquat tree.
I am in awe of your recognition of obscure fruits.
Well, that's what I went to college for.
But wait, do you notice the other special thing about this particular kumquat tree?
Why, it's painted in the colour of my favourite political movement. And the world's favourite.
Yes, and this can be yours for the high, high price of all of your belongings.
Yes, share in the communal warmth of kumquats tomorrow and today.
And we're going to play Blind Charades. This is one that we made up ourselves. It's a form of charades for the radio. Woo! Okay, I need two of you to go away. Who are they?
I think it's me. And him.
And
me, yes.
Shoo. They need to leave because they can't hear the suggestion or it won't work. You all know how charades works, right? Yeah, I don't need to explain it. Brilliant. In that case, I'd like a suggestion for a film or a book or a TV show.
The Avengers.
The Avengers.
Triple X. What? That's the Avengers Triple X. Is that
that's a new version of the Avengers, which you can find on the internet already.
Batman.
Pardon?
Batman.
Should we do Batman? Let's do Batman.
It's too easy.
Let's do Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe.
Let's do Batman and The Lion and the Witch in the Wardrobe. We'll do two. Because if Batman's so easy, then it'll be over quick. Okay, let's bring them back. Take it away.
So he's put his left hand up to his face and he's whisking his right hand around.
Some sort of hideous cookery show.
It's a film.
Oh, a film, yes.
First finger up.
Up where?
Up in the air.
Right. One word.
Two fingers on the elbow.
Two
syllables.
Yes.
One finger on the elbow.
One syllable.
He's put his left and right arm up to his side and he's whisking them up and down.
The magic teapot.
Star jumps.
These do look quite a lot like the arm component of star jumps.
Flying.
And now he's pointing at you.
Fly. Chris. And,
and he's got his... Oh, he's got his hands on his ears. He's got his hands on his ears. He's lurching forward and biting.
The bats of doom.
He's pointing at you in an excited manner. And bat. Squashing... And now he's pointing at you, Chris.
Bat!
He's getting quite excited.
Bat!
Bat!
Looks like he's happy with that one.
Bat film!
Now he's putting two fingers on his elbow.
Bat film two!
He's done it again. He's throttling you.
I noticed!
He's scratching his wrist. I don't know if that was part time. Of the garage. He's pointing to his head and drawing his hands from his head to his feet.
Bat King!
Decapitation football.
Bat.
He's now enlarging his hands in a circle.
The whole thing.
Now he's pretending to be Batman.
The Dark Knight Rises.
Yes!
Okay, we have a second one for you.
Oh, good.
Because we thought Batman would be easy.
Oh, you already have one.
Yeah.
He puts his hands together and, while keeping the little fingers together, moves the thumbs apart.
Crab pincer? What?
Unconventional prayer. Lutheranism.
That's right, it's a Lutheran prayer.
Sure. Or book!
He's doing the whisking motion.
A cookery book.
Both a book and a film.
He's putting up five fingers of his left hand and two of his right.
Seven.
Oh.
Now he's putting up two fingers.
The second word.
He's on his knees and his left hand, and he's sort of doing a clawing action with his right hand and a biting action. Much like that.
Thank you, Chris.
Puppet. Kermit. For
no,
radio.
Doing more sort of grasping than that. Yes, yeah, exactly.
For radio, grasping. Chris is attempting to mime Michael's actions without seeing them. It's going well.
Cranes, gannets,
dog,
grab.
He's now put up seven fingers.
The seventh word.
He's standing with his fingertips together and his hands across his chest. Much like Chris here. He's now opening one of his arms in a sort of hinging action.
Door chest? What?
Portal or...
Demon shirt. Showgirls.
He's now putting up four fingers.
The fourth word.
We should be making notes.
Yeah.
There's a stupid crane thing, that's in real life.
He's now doing a sort of flicking action with his right hand as though holding a whip.
Whip.
And. And he looks like he's cackling mercilessly as he whips the minions.
Dominatrix. The
minions. I think you're getting pretty accurate here. So far you've got dog dominatrix and portal
chest
showgirls.
Showgirls.
Yeah.
I want to see this film.
You have okay, so stripping / supernatural
phenomenon.
You have
some kind of animal, some right. kind of evil lady, and some right. kind of container.
Oh! Well, when you put it like that...
It's the tiger, the warlock, and the chest.
Close enough.
Thank you. I like that you went from showgirls to chest.
It's the other way around.
Okay, we'll do job of a lifetime. Could we have a suggestion for a job that there could only be one of in the world? It doesn't have to be a real job. It could be like king of the universe.
Keeper of the prototype kilogram.
Keeper of the prototype kilogram. Excellent. Michael and James are going to interview Tom and Chris for this position in a double-headed style. Take it away.
Hello.
Thank you for
coming.
We're
honoured. Now,
what
do
you
think
makes
the
prototype
kilogram
so
effective
at
kilogramming?
Well,
it
is
noted
that
it
weighs
roughly
1 kilogram.
Roughly? I
think
you'll
find
that
it
is
precisely
1 kilogram.
Well,
that's
roughly
correct. What
would
you
do
in
the
event
that
a
robber
arrives
near
the
kilogram
facility?
Well,
I
would
string
the
robber
onto
the
cord
attached
to
the
kilogram,
thus
joining
him
to
the
piece
of
rubber.
In
that
case,
would
the
kilogram
be
heavier?
It
would
weigh
roughly
1 kilogram.
That
is
the
case.
Well,
in
that
case,
I
have
just
decided
that
you
should
be
our
new
keeper
of
the
kilogram. I feel I must confess, I completely forgot that there was such a thing as a measure of a kilogram. And when he said kilogram, I thought, like, someone who you send round to someone's house with a message that is delivered through a murder. And this had just been invented, hence there was a prototype of a person who would do this.
Just an assassin.
I got a message for you from the boss.
Yeah, yeah, but the message is specifically delivered through the medium of killing. Yeah, so it's good you clarified what we were talking about quickly.
Okay, let's do a pointy story. I'd like for this a suggestion again of a non-geographical location.
Bus stop.
The bus stop. And a profession.
Tax warrior.
Tax warrior. Or an accountant. A tax warrior is some kind of accountant, I believe.
No, it's a warrior. A tax warrior is
an awesome accountant.
An awesome accountant. The title of the story will be The Tax Warrior of the Bus Stops. And I'm going to move around here so that I can do some pointing.
Dave awoke knowing today was going to be his day.
He was going to tour the bus stops of Cambridge and solve whatever tax problems he found therein.
At the first bus stop he came to, there was a man there weeping, weeping with much
tears coming from his face, as is the usual manner of weeping.
This was because embedded in his face were many drawing pins, or tacks.
Dave thought, this story isn't going exactly where I thought it would, but I'll
go with it anyway. And he started withdrawing the tacks from this poor man's face. He pulled the first tack and the man screamed,
"Ah, that hurts, but please continue, because otherwise I'll have tacks in my face forever, and I'll be a sad person. So, Dave continued, drawing his trusty warrior's pliers. As he drew them, he
found the man becoming happier and happier as his face was free of those tacks.
But then there was just one tack
left, and he recognised it.
It was his arch nemesis!
Value added tack! This means war!
He tries to pull the tack out, but
it was stuck fast, such as the pernicious nature of value
added tacks.
I need some great force to get rid of this value
added tax.
I'm going to use an offshore vehicle!
Such as his amphibious but
Uttocks. Which I use for swimming.
To my tax haven. Finally, value-added tack came free.
But then landed upright in the road and the bus
drove over it and was ruined beyond comprehension.
Thus endeth the lesson.
We're going to play a game now called Who's Lying? Before the show, we gave the audience some index cards and asked them to write upon the cards some lines of dialogue they'd like to see during the show. Tom and Chris are going to act out a scene now, and at various points they will turn over a card in front of them and use the line of dialogue provided, not having seen it beforehand. I'd like suggestions from the audience for a problem that they need to solve.
He's
run out of pants. Tell a story about that.
Alright. Are you alright, Billy?
Well, I won't open the door if you don't mind.
I heard something going on furiously in there. You all right?
Yeah, I've been rummaging like crazy, but somebody's nicked all my underpants. My theory is... Hey, did you see that guy in the panda costume? That guy, he jumped out of my window just now, taking me with me all the underpants. Honest to God.
You haven't been leaving your bedroom window open, have you, for panda guy?
He snuck
in there in the middle of the night and he's stolen all your underwear.
I know, you told me. Don't leave the window open.
Not only did I tell you don't leave the window open, I told you, quick, put this inside you.
I ate the sandwich, but it did not fortify me enough to have the wisdom to shut the window and prevent the panda incursion.
Well, what are we going to do now? I haven't got any more money for pants.
Well, how about we... You can't be too careful in matters of defenestration. Now, obviously, the panda has defenestrated both himself and the pants, but in case he's hiding in the shrubs outside, let's defenestrate some more crap, and then maybe we'll successfully strike the panda man and recover the pant cat.
Let's defenestrate everything in your room out under the shrubbery.
All right.
And unleash the monkey.
Go, Cuddles, go. Catch that underpant thief. Use your power of... And it turned out he was the Admiral. It worked. That panda is wearing an Admiral's hat. He is now much less concealed than he was.
Right, now we've got the Panda Admiral strapped up in our basement. What are we going to do to him? Should we phone the cops?
All right, go on, then. You can use your patented torture technique.
Anyone seen my kumquat?
I'd continue with the show, but I'm laughing too much. Let's do a change monologue. This is for Michael and James. You're waving.
I am.
This is radio.
Oh.
What we're going to do is James is going to tell a story. He's not going to tell a story. He's going to give a speech to a group of people. Could we have a suggestion for a group of people that might be at, say, a conference or a group of a profession?
Physicists.
And could we have something completely unrelated that he might be there to talk to them about?
My little pony.
Good morning. Today I'm going to talk to you here at the Bureau of Physics about
A great new thing that's sweeping the nation.
Change.
Good afternoon. I'm going to talk to you here at the Office of Physics about a terrible scourge that's sweeping the nation. This, of course, as we know, is My Little Pony. Now, many of you will say, but wait, friendship is magic.
Change.
Many of you will say, but wait, what the hell's that?
Change.
Many of you will say, ah, we know exactly what you're talking about, and we've already solved that problem. But that's where you're wrong.
Change.
But that's where you're half right. For you see, if I can demonstrate with this demo...
Change.
If I could illustrate with this drawing...
Change.
If I could, get a bit frisky...
Change!
If I could show you this specimen over here, you will clearly see that while this pony is little, it is not mine. Now, and this is the reason why I'm talking to you. What we need to do is understand the physics of these ponies. For example, I can clearly lift this pony in my hand.
Change!
For example, I clearly can't lift that pony with my hand.
Change.
For demonstration purposes, I can kick this pony clear across the room, yet it suffers no harm. How can this be so? It must surely have some sort of force field.
Change.
It must surely have some sort of divine protection.
Change.
It must surely be made of rubber. Surely. And I need you, as physicists of the world, to come together and help me as foremost pony expert.
Change.
And help me as foremost expert of ponies.
Change.
And help me as some guy who you just met to find some way to neutralize this rubber pony threat. Thank you.
Okay, we're almost running out of time, but there's just time for a quickfire round, which is what the yellow cards you provided earlier are for. So, let's go. What's your favourite sort of fish?
Plenty sort of fish.
Yes. How do you tell the difference between a polar bear and a lion in a fur coat?
Give them a Diplodocus. The polar bear likes it.
I'll take that. What's your favourite kind of potato?
Any kind of potato.
Yes. Does it have an E on the end?
No. Unless it's pluralised.
Potato. Okay, more serious question. How do they put the bubbles in soft drinks?
They just force them in.
That'll do. Why do people match socks?
They don't. They're readily differentiable.
What is the meaning of life translated into Swedish?
Nobody's ever found out.
I like your style. Would you rather burn alive or drown in a watery grave?
Can we use the tarot cards?
I'm providing these options right now.
Burn alive with these tarot cards.
Okay. Which Disney character would you liken to yourself to?
All of them.
In a ball.
Are mullets cool?
No.
No.
Apparently. No.
What's the first thing that you would do with a time machine?
Check it works properly.
Correct. 1 year as the King of England or 1 day as God?
Both. The King of England has a straight line to God, so it's almost exactly the same.
When you say a straight line, do you mean a direct line? Because I have a straight line to all major world leaders.
What?
It's a geometry
joke. You can draw a straight line between me and Barack Obama, for example, but it's of very little use to me. There's a lot of rock and magma blocking the path.
No, I mean, what was the question on the card? If a train leaves London travelling north at 60 mile an hour...
They're both the same.
How far must it go before someone writes a maths question about it?
All the way.
Fish or chips?
Both.
Why, oh why, oh why, oh why?
Why not?
Zed.
Yo, 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 yo.
Is there any use for old chewing gum scraped off the pavement?
Yes.
What is it?
I don't know.
But there must be one. Very well. How do you make a Swiss cross?
You steal his chocolate making facility.
In a forest, how fast can an ent run?
The ent is the forest. So the same speed as the forest.
I can't argue with that. Grapes or apes?
Apes!
Say what, say what, say what?
What?
Confusions or contusions?
Contusions!
What would a jelly baby's first word be?
Ow!
Me!
Okay, this one says, why has Michael shaved for a radio show?
Fourth order.
Well, stop there. Okay, I'm totting up the points from that quickfire round. I have determined that Michael is the winner.
Hooray!
So his prize, of course, is total world domination. We'll close the show with his victory rant, and for this we're going to need a place where he set up his secret lair.
The pyramids.
The pyramids. A nemesis that he defeated in his path to victory.
Santa Claus.
Santa Claus. And an obstacle he overcame, some trouble that he had to, a trivial obstacle that he overcame.
A tree.
Diabetes.
None of these are trivial obstacles. Pardon? Blue screen of death on his computer. Have you got that? So Michael will be closing the show with a victory rant from his secret base in the pyramids after defeating Santa and the blue screen of death on his computer. But first, I'd like you to thank our panellists. Michael Conterio. Yeah. Tom Ellis. James Howe. Yay! And Chris Smoten. I've been your chairman, David Birch, and this was Diplodocus, Catch for an Avocado. Take it away.
My dinosaur minions have swept across the earth and replaced all of those kumquat trees with avocado trees. But yes, here, I am very glad that I made my secret lair here in the wonderful pyramids of Egypt, for they allowed me protection against Santa Claus in multiple ways. Firstly, they do not contain any chimneys, so when he tried to come down, he did in fact instead land on the very pointy bit at the top, which I'm sure he didn't like. And secondly, then I managed to catch him and lock him in a cage, and he's used to such a cold, cold area as the North Pole, but here with all that red and white fur, he just couldn't cope anymore. But yes, after Santa Claus was gone, there was just one problem. I had to use all my computer technology to breed my Diplodocuses in their genetic chambers. But I got the one problem that all computers must face, the blue screen of death. And I stared at it, and I pressed Control, Alt, and Delete! And it worked second time round! So now the world is mine, and I can play with all of my dinosaur minions! Diplodocus, catch that avocado!
This was Panel to the People. It was recorded in the Larkham Studio in the ADC Theatre. The chairman was David Birch. The panellists were Chris Smoten, Tom Ellis, James Howe, and Michael Conterio. The chairman's script was written by David Birch with help from Michael Conterio. The other panellists did not have a script.